Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. And chat, let me tell you, I appreciate your patience so much. There will be major consequences for my actions this morning. Major repercussions in the, well, certain set of repercussions, and it's this. We're doing a t-shirt giveaway. One t-shirt given away for each hour that I overslept. I was supposed to get up at 5 a.m., head back up north to the Boak, start our show at 8 o'clock. I woke up at 8 o'clock. I do not take this lightly. It's pathetic to oversleep. I know you guys are really cool. I'm not cool about this, and there will be consequences for this chat. Now, I'm very well rested, so it should be a great show. I slept great. Unfortunately, my body wants to relax, chat. It will be having the workout of its life this afternoon after baseball today, let me tell you. But with that said, I do really appreciate you guys' patience today. Seriously, this is not something I take lightly, and I would like to think it will never happen again. With that in mind, giveaway. Yes, we're going to do 5 t-shirts given away, one for each hour that I overslept. Now, actually, it's 4 because I already agreed to get my boy Vinny, who DM'd me on Instagram. Really good dude. He's going to get a t-shirt. I'm going to send his out later today. But here's how it's going to work. We will do one giveaway of a t-shirt in the live chat because I want to make sure I give the live chat some proper love. You guys are awesome, and I appreciate you guys and all your patience. It'll be a random generator. I'll pick one out of the live chat in when I go back and watch like the record of it. And for the other 3 t-shirts, just comment down below once this video is no longer live, just a standard YouTube comment, and I'll do a YouTube comment generator. No like specific terms of the comment. Honestly, the only specific terms are just talk Yankee baseball. You don't got to say, Dan, I'd love a t-shirt. Dan, you don't got to gas me up. I guess it wouldn't hurt. No, it'll be a completely YouTube random generator. As long as it's a comment about the Yankees, your thoughts, and what we were talking about today, then you'll be entered for the giveaway. We'll pick a winner at the end of the week or tomorrow's show, and those shirts will be shipped out by the middle of the month. Again, appreciate you guys' patience so much. Of course, we have a tier list video out now. That came out yesterday. Went way longer than I anticipated. It was supposed to be like 15 to 20 minutes. Ended up going 40 minutes. It was a blast, and you guys are responding pretty well to it, which I appreciate you guys so much. That's out now. Just doing some housekeeping notes. The Morning Yankee Show, live 5 days a week. We're available on podcasts. And tomorrow, we'll be live at a nice, crisp, sharp 9 a.m. Of course, not my usual backdrop, by the way. I am at my parents' house right now. Came home last night because the Yankees were off, and I was like, had to pick something up, was, you know, doing some things. Was locked in, so hardcore locked in. And I guess this is part of the issue. I was up till like 1 a.m. prepping the show. And maybe we should blame Joel Sherman. Not actually, because Joel Sherman is the GOAT. But on his podcast, and this is what we're going to talk about today, he made it pretty clear that the Yankees will be acquiring a reliever. Multiple relievers, it sounds like. We'll play a soundbite from his show, the Pinstripe Post, him and Ryan Sampson do, which is a great listen if you don't already tune into that. And he also mentioned that the Yankees will target a right-handed hitting catcher as well, and specifically mentioned Ryan Jeffers, which we'll get into that in just a moment. We'll play the soundbite. But anyways, I was up late last night prepping the show, getting all ready to go, and I was locked in, went to the gym, and here we are. But I think I've covered that now at length. Overslept, won't happen again. T-shirt giveaway, just comment down below. We'll do 3 comments, random giveaway winner for a t-shirt, and then also one from the live chat as well. Click like on the stream. That's all I got. Subscribe. We'll, of course, be live tonight for the watch party. Yankees begin a 6-game homestand, 3 games against Cleveland, and then 3 against Boston. Another heads up, tonight we'll begin presenting sponsor for the watch parties, which is pretty freaking sick, which is what helps us, you know, me be able to do this in part like full time now that I've joined, or Yankees Avenue has joined John Boy. So looking forward to that. Anyways, that's all the housekeeping notes. Hopefully the audio is good. I'm going off of my MacBook microphone, which the built-in machine mics that they have improved very much so. So we should be able to get by with this. Just a one-time thing. So yeah, this is my old my old crib that I grew up in that I'm in here today. So that's all I got with the housekeeping notes. Let's get into the meats and potatoes of today's show, which of course is Yankee baseball. Now I can take a deep breath because now I just get to talk ball. So let's get into it. And we're going to start off with this soundbite from Joel Sherman. And, you know, we know the basis that leads to this conversation. The Yankees bullpen is the one real true weakness that would prohibit them from being a true World Series contender. Well, while you can get by with one black hole in the lineup, I always say that, and it's true. Obviously, in an ideal world, the Yankees are not running out an everyday catcher that's hitting 180 with an OPS below 600. Of course, we're talking about Austin Wells, Ryan Jeffers. He is mentioned in the sound clip, and it's about 45 seconds. Take a listen to Jules Sherman. This is his show with Ryan Sampson, the Pinstripe Post. Here is Jules Sherman on his show yesterday.
They're not going to like put it on the, you know, like a billboard in Times Square. They're going to get relief pitching, and they're going to get a righty hitting catcher. And, you know, depending on who that righty hitting catcher is, I don't think there's any secret that the Twins aren't very good and that the Twins are going to be in sell mode come July. Ryan Jeffers is in his walk year. Right now, he has the same injury that Lindor had in spring training. He fractured the hamate bone. He's not back. So, you know, like there will be a question about his swing, etc. People are going to want to see him play. You know, it's the best for the Twins and everybody else. If it's, say, like July 10th or so, he could get, you know, he can play and play well. Because there's nobody who will fit the Yankees like him.
And I couldn't agree more. A lot of interesting stuff from that soundbite. First things first, what he leads, the first line of that soundbite is not, I think, not, oh, in all likelihood or in an ideal world. Jules Sherman says they will get relievers and they will get a right-handed catcher, which is really to no surprise. But when you hear from somebody like Jules Sherman, it definitely brings it home a little bit to, yo, we're only 2 months away from the trade deadline, 2 months and a day. It's August 3rd this year, a little bit later. And we know what the Yankees' holes are. We're not going to go over that in depth. We've talked about it a lot. And anybody who watches the game, if you're watching this show, you're well aware of the issues the Yankees have in the bullpen and at catcher. Ryan Jeffers is certainly the way to go. And of course, he is currently on the injured list with a left hamate fracture. Now, that's the same injury that Francisco Lindor is currently out with. Corbin Carroll early in the year missed time with that as well. Actually, you know what? I take that back. Lindor is not currently out with it. He was to begin the year, I believe, and then he came back. Corbin Carroll had the same injury. He's bounced back nicely, and it is something that we've seen Aaron Hicks have, Mark Teixeira have. Not going to lie, it's definitely a concern to a degree with any player because the hamate, that's like your left wrist, so it's like right here. And we've seen that with Mark Teixeira as well, and he talked about how much that can affect a hitter. We've seen hitters bounce back just fine. We've seen them, take a little bit to bounce back from that injury. Nonetheless, he is probably going to be back off the injured list with the Twins early in July. So there'll be like a 3 to 4 week period, kind of like another like little trial run to see how he's doing health-wise and how the swing looks. And if he can get back to where he was, which I fully anticipate he'd be able to, it's a match made in heaven. Now, we've talked about a lot. Austin Wells would probably still get a good amount of playing time. At the very least, we need a righty bat to platoon with him against left-handed pitching. Well, just the floor of this would be a massive improvement because you see on the screen here, or for those who are audio only, career 851 OPS against left-handed pitching for Ryan Jeffers, 895 in 2026. Some other stats, just a 15.6% strikeout rate this season. He's a career 112 WRC plus hitter. Of course, for those who don't know, WRC plus league average is 100. And for context, Austin Wells this season is at a 65 WRC plus on the year entirely. Ryan Jeffers is at he's at a 165 WRC plus. So in 37 games this season prior to getting injured, Ryan Jeffers 65% better than a league average hitter, whereas Austin Wells 35% worse than a league average hitter. Going off career numbers, Ryan Jeffers 112 WRC plus. Austin Wells currently sits at a 95. So righty, lefty pitching, whatever it may be, just all in all, who's a better hitter so far into their career? And just as we currently stand right now, it is Ryan Jeffers. This would be a massive upgrade for the Yankees. It's the obvious way to go, assuming he is healthy. And just the overall numbers on the season to kind of get away from WRC plus, he's hitting 295, 408 on base, 7 home runs, 26 RBIs. And the defense is something to always keep in mind here with when talking about an improvement or an upgrade over Austin Wells, because while offensively Wells is, we know what he is. He's been terrible. And it's unfortunate. And Jewel went into this in his podcast yesterday. It really is a shame because, we've talked about this before too with Wells. Like, he was always supposed to hit, and the defense was a concern. That has totally flipped. The defense is good. The offense now, while always kind of like disappointing with some good streaks here and there, rookie year was good for Wells, 2024. He truly was a solid bat. Not to go over the whole entire history of Austin Wells. We know the situation that we're in, so let's forget about all that. You guys know, I know, Wells has been terrible this year. We need an upgrade at the very least, to bring in a righty bat to platoon with him. And how I envision this working is it's the clear way to go. If Jeffers is healthy, the Yankees, in all likelihood, I think, will make this trade by the deadline. And at the very least, he comes in as a platoon with Wells, and he will start every game against a lefty. And just like we've seen in past years, whether it be as far back as 2019, Gio Urshela was never intended to be the starting third baseman, or Jose Caballero wasn't intended to be an everyday player with us, or Trent Grisham, whatever it may be, even if you're not bringing him in here right away with the mindset of he's going to be the everyday starting catcher, he will become that if Wells doesn't hit and Jeffers fits in like a glove right away, which there's really no reason to think that he wouldn't, because again, I mean, he's just a good hitter. Forget the stats against lefty, just the numbers on the season, career. Like last year was really good offensively for him as well. Anyways, I mentioned the defense. What I meant to bring up is Wells overall is the better defender compared to Ryan Jeffers, but it's not like Jeffers is terrible. While Wells is really good at framing, ranks in the 96th percentile in pitch framing, Jeffers isn't too bad himself. 73rd percentile in pitch framing he is this year, so it wouldn't be like a massive drop-off defensively with Jeffers. The main thing is, of course, we need an upgrade offensively, and he would certainly provide that. Again, 948 OPS in 37 games this year, which is obviously not sustainable. He's not this good a hitter, but just going off of the career numbers, a 112 WRC plus, which 12% better than a league average hitter, whereas Wells has been at a 95 WRC plus for his career. So he's been below league average, which in fairness, more often than not, catchers are below league average hitters. They do prioritize defense, that is, you know, first and foremost. And had Wells been hitting even to that 95 WRC plus this year, this would not be as much of a pressing conversation. It's way worse than that, though. We know that. So what we got from this is a pretty clear, definitive outlook about the trade deadline from somebody who's very much in the know. For those who, you know, don't read too many articles, which is, you know, totally fair. But, you know, that's what you got me for, every single article that's put out there, and especially every article that's put out there by Jules Sherman. Anything he puts out, he's, in my opinion, the most respected reporter out there that the Yankees, that writes about the Yankees. And he pretty much was saying they're going to get relievers, they're going to get a right-handed hitting catcher. And on the topic of that, well, I think it's, unless he comes back or there's setbacks, if he comes back and he doesn't look good, because, you know, the hamate certainly is an issue that, like, you want to see him come back and look good, you know, but let's just say he does come back and he, you know, is hitting in those few weeks before the trade deadline. It feels almost like, you know, it's only a matter of time that they would acquire Ryan Jeffers. So that's one thing I'm excited about that. Jules Sherman says, and it's obvious because the Yankees have more of a chance than ever to win the World Series this year and get back to the World Series and, you know, at least give themselves a shot to finally get over the hump. Potential lockout next year. Judge is getting older, you know, Cole's looking great, but he's getting older. You got to go all in this year. So it's a no-brainer that the Yankees would go out and get relievers at the deadline because the bullpen is not World Series caliber. Well, almost every other facet of this team is World Series caliber, including the lineup and obviously the starting rotation, the defense, the depth. We talked about in the tier list video yesterday, total random side note, but I posted on Yanks Ad, just like a little shout out to Max Schumann because he's been great. But the reason I bring that up is like the bench is the best that we've had in a long time. Probably the best Yankee bench, honestly, since 2009. Not saying it's better than 2009, but best since. Point is, we have more of a shot than ever to finally get over the hump this year, which is all the more reason to shore up the loose ends. And the bullpen is not just a loose end. It's like, I don't know, a rope sawed in half, whatever the saying would be there. That will be shored up. But hearing it from Jules Sherman, it's like, word. It's one thing if I say it. It's another thing if Jules Sherman says it. And I was already of the belief that these things would take place. Obviously, still remains to be seen. We got to actually, you know, let it all play out. But getting specific with it, nothing to do with relievers because we got to see what teams are going to be out of it. We got to, it may be a couple guys that we're not even aware of. We're really going to let that play out. But when it comes to the starting catching position and at the very least bringing in a righty bat to, whether it be a floor of creating competition with Austin Wells, which by default, a competition with Austin Wells, had that exist right now, Wells wouldn't be playing every single day. And even with J.C. Ascara, which, you know, God bless J.C. Ascara. He follows Yanks Ave, and shout out to him. He's trying to learn switch hitting because he's like, Yankees need a right-handed catcher. Well, I can kind of switch it. Let me try to do that. And he's been working on it. I respect that. We're not going to factor that into, you know, this conversation here. Point is, nothing against J.C., but the Yankees don't have a true, clear option to be like, all right, Wells, like, you're sitting down for a prolonged period of time. And if you don't get it going, like, you will just lose playing time. You won't be our catcher in the postseason. Once Jeffers is brought in, which I'm at that point where it feels like once he is brought in, not if, but when, that will be a massive upgrade for this team because you're not going to fall off too much defensively. Of course, I don't watch him every single day, but the pitch framing, he's still pretty damn good at it. While Wells is great, defensively, Wells is a great catcher. Offensively, though, it would be night and day difference. Even if we're talking about the first 2 years of Austin Wells, the upgrade from year one and year two Wells to what Ryan Jeffers is would already be like, yo, word, this is an upgrade. Of course, what Wells is this year, which is, you know, Jules Sherman was talking about it in his podcast too, of course, a little more articulate than I can say, but, you know, he was going into kind of relating it back to Gary Sanchez and whether it be like on Gary's end, like information overload with the analytics and really putting in a lot of work, which they both did, and Wells does at his defense, to where maybe it's played a role in his offensive decline. And there's been a massive difference, which we've talked about a lot, between, like, you know, his at-bats the previous 2 years, which, you know, I feel so, like, you know, the grass isn't always greener. Like, I was like, irritated about Wells' season last year. But now I'm looking back at it, it's like, granted, overall season stats don't tell the full story. You know, you could have a good last 2 weeks of September, and then that makes your season look a lot better than maybe it was. But, like, Wells had an OPS above 700 last year, hit over 20 homers while still, you know, being, you know, having the great defense that he has still. It's not even close the guy he was this year compared to last. And I was complaining about who he was last year, too, which maybe that was me being a little bit out of line. But the point is, as we currently sit right now, Wells is not a World Series caliber player. And he's not that far off from being one because the defense is so good. And, you know, you can afford one black hole in your lineup. You can. But it's a matter of, like, all right, this guy's hitting 180. Not all 180s are created equal. Austin Wells, we've talked about this at length, but it's like runner on third, less than two outs. He's truly the one guy in this lineup that I, like, don't have confidence in getting a runner over, or, you know, getting out, but it being a productive out, or making smart swing decisions. He's, you know, Jules Sherman mentioned in his show, like, and it's so true, like, the previous 2 years, while disappointing, the process was such a more respectable, like, watch compared to what it is now. It was not just like, oh, good process, bad results, but at least it was something like you could stomach watching with Austin Wells. And maybe there was some bad luck involved, but it still felt like a major league at bat. This year, it's not. So at the very least, you bring in Ryan Jeffers, like, by default, that's already a massive upgrade, but especially with what Wells has been this year, just competitiveness of the at-bat, it's going to be night and day. So it's something we've talked about already at length, like, throughout the whole season. We'll continue to talk about it, but it really seems, from Jewel and just the overall vibe, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, you know, now that it's June, like, we're going to be there soon. And as we get closer and closer, it seems like this is going to happen in terms of a catcher brought in. And the vibe is certainly that it will, I'm going to say, in all likelihood, will be Ryan Jeffers. We'll see. Now, with that in mind, you see here on the bottom graphic, he also, for those who listen to the show, he did not rule out Adley Rutschman being traded in division. Now, of course, we've seen that before, where in 2018, that deadline, the Yankees acquired Zach Britton from the Orioles for Dylan Tate. And that was a deal that was, like, a great move. And, of course, you know, things are a little bit different. Since then, the Orioles didn't go into that year with much expectations, whereas this year they did, and they are playing a little bit better as of late. I'm not going to, like, use that as a legitimate talking point just yet, but I do want to acknowledge that Jewel did mention that he's not going to rule out that the Orioles wouldn't trade Adley Rutschman to the Yankees. Now, 30 seconds on Rutschman. I mean, he is under control through next year. He is having a good year. I mean, Adley's at a 124 WRC plus, so he's been pretty damn good, but he's also been very streaky over the last couple of years. Of course, former first overall pick. And, you know, I feel like while the trade has went down in previous years where in division, relatively big deadline deals, like with Zach Britton, there is a difference between trading Zach Britton and the team had really no expectations. They were still kind of like, oh, the Orioles, like those Orioles from back in the day. Adley's first overall pick, and, like, I just don't see that happening. But just to acknowledge it, you know, and tell you guys the news if you didn't see it, like, Jewel did mention that he's not going to rule out that Adley could get traded in division and that maybe the Orioles would trade him to the Yankees. I'm obviously not against that, but it'd be less of a return going to Minnesota for Jeffers, and I might just like Ryan Jeffers better anyways. So we'll leave it there with that. But Joel Sherman says relievers will be acquired and the Yankees will get a right-handed hitting catcher by the trade deadline, which again is August 3rd. I think it'll be Ryan Jeffers. He thinks it'll be Ryan Jeffers. The entire industry kind of thinks it'll be Ryan Jeffers. We'll leave that there and we'll move on. But exciting stuff. We're getting there. It's only a matter of time before the trade deadline arrives. And I'm so pumped that it is June. And speaking of June, I guess we can move on to our next topic, which is, of course, will the Yankees avoid the swoon this year? Now, here's more so my question here. And you guys let me know. Let me know everything you feel about this, by the way. And of course, reminder, we have 4 t-shirts to give away. One will be randomly picked out of the live chat. My voice is crazy. Am I going through like puberty 2.0? The live chat will pick a random giveaway winner for a t-shirt. And then also 3 comments after this video is done, of course. You can't comment till after the live stream concludes. But just comment any of your thoughts on these things. No like other requirements other than just talk Yankee baseball. We'll do a random giveaway of 3 commenters on down below. Anyways, will the Yankees avoid the swoon this year? June begins. Now, more so the question I have is it just a myth or is it actually something to worry about? Now, there is the thing, we have to mention that with the swoon, like you look at past years, last year in June, just June 1st to June 30th, we were 13-14. 2024, we were 14-13. 2023, 11-12. 2022, we went 22-6. That was when, you know, the year of graphics being posted. Will the Yankees break the win record this year? I probably posted that myself too. Point is this, like the actual June swoon, and I'm not going to play dumb here, trust me. I'm not going to be like, the June swoon doesn't exist. The record really isn't that bad in June. Like the last 5 seasons dating back to 2021, the Yankees are 72-59. That's a .550 winning percentage. Obviously, just going off of that stat, like the June swoon doesn't exist. Look at the last 3 seasons. Basically, if you just take out 2022, they're 38-39, a .493 winning percentage. That qualifies more so as a swoon. But the June swoon, like, again, I'm an optimistic fan, but I'm not going to play dumb with it. It goes past just June. There's often been a point in recent years where there's a prolonged slump in the summertime for the Yankees. And is that something to actually worry about? I don't even have the answer. No, like I'll tell you, I don't think it's going to happen this year. At least, you know, just focusing on June, like here's our schedule. We have the Guardians starting tonight, of course. Then we also go to Cleveland next week. But just to run through them quickly, in June, here's what we got. 2 series against the Guardians, 2 series against the Red Sox. We have a series against the Blue Jays, a series against the White Sox, a series against the Reds, and 2 series against the Detroit Tigers. So a lot of AL Central teams and, you know, the Guardians are a tough squad. We'll see how they do against them. The White Sox have been one of baseball's bigger surprises this year. And, you know, the Tigers are terrible, but, like, I don't even know if I want to say, like, the Tigers are bad, but, like, you respect them. They're really bad, so maybe not. But we also face two series against Boston, who we know have been awful this year. So schedule-wise, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But more so I wonder, like, you know, it's not a thing where the Yankees, just because they're the Yankees and just because, you know, they're led by Aaron Boone. And by the way, I really think people are well within their rights to like wonder about this because it's happened every single year. But my question is more so why? And the reason I ask why is like, what could lead to this possibly happening again? And is it just a coincidence or, I mean, I don't know. I'll tell you what I do think I know. Obviously I don't, but just my hunch is this will not happen again because the odds of, you know, just because a calendar flips to June, all of a sudden Yankees are gonna be playing like crap is, you know, ridiculous. Of course, that can happen, but it wouldn't be correlated to, you know, this time of year, at least I don't think. And in terms of like, you know, Boone ball and all this sort of thing, like what actually would be the reason? Like I'm generally asking here, like not in a way of like, oh, I'm generally asking, like, please don't, like people post it on Twitter when like they know the answer or they're trying to like be smart. It's like, guys, I'm genuinely asking, like, I want to know, like, but they don't actually want to know. Like, no, like I do. Cause trust me, like we're on the same side here. Like I want the Yankees to win. You want the Yankees to win. Like what could actually lead that to being the case year in and year out where there's a June swoon? For me, it's lack of depth. The Yankees often will undergo injuries like every other team in baseball. Well, what is something that we've celebrated a lot this year, which is the depth, the surplus of options that the Yankees can afford, an injury here, an injury there. They're way better suited to face adversity than in past years. And I mean, 2023, the swoon, you got to take that out because Judge was hurt. And that's the one thing, like, a long-term injury to Aaron Judge, even when he's not playing well lately, like whatever. that's, you got to take that out of it. But like 2025, what were the injuries at this point last year? I mean, there really wasn't much. Like, we just didn't play well, at least as far as I can think. I mean, Clark got hurt late in the year. Stanton came back right around June. I think a big part of it was like the bullpen was blowing games. I'm trying to think back, but they were just losing games. And in 2022, I think that team was playing way over its head. So I look at it like 2022, that year was just weird. That team wasn't as good as they were playing at the time. So a fall off, a reverse to the means was inevitable. 2023, Judge got hurt. I put that to this side as well. 2024, well, actually in June, you know, they only went 14. They went 14-13, but later on in the year, there was a very much a prolonged losing streak in like August. And, you know, that was a team that the June swoon happens and people mention it happening every single year. But by the time, you know, the postseason gets here, of course, that was, you know, the Soto and Judge year. By the time the World Series gets here, or just a lot of times, you know, in hindsight, people will be like, that team was special. You forget about the swoon because where they ended up going. This will only have an effect if it happens again, of course, and it leads to us not having the one seed in the American League or winning the AL East. You got to just play well, obviously. So with that in mind, like, I don't anticipate this happening again, or at least there's no reason to expect it to besides this, which is something to keep in mind. There will be a prolonged slump at some point during this season. Like, we know that. That's baseball. The Dodgers will go through the same thing. That is just how things go in this sport. How can you prevent that? Well, the Yankees did go into this year with the mindset of, yo, we got to do things differently. We got to be ready for series against Toronto. We got to be ready to finish the job and sweep series. And, you know, the June swoon is a part of that. Like, we can't go through a massive summer slide. And by that, I don't mean, you know, 1 or 2 weeks of bad baseball, which is what the May slump was. Like, and I get it. Like, you know, we talked about this. Like, I think Yankee fans, like, still, and until we win a World Series, which is totally fair, are waiting for the shoe to drop. And that's, like, when they were going through that little, and I like to think, you know, we can look at those 2 weeks in May, which a lot of us were already of that mindset, understanding that it's baseball. But, like, that was just a little slump. Like, that is going to happen every single year. The 98 Yankees, which I'm not comparing this team to, but just I will in terms of a baseball team and how the season works, like, they went through a slump as well. Like, we're not talking a 1 to 2 week slump. Like, the Yankees lose tonight against Cleveland. Make the jokes by all means, but, like, truly in terms of, like, thought process, like, that's not the beginning of the swoon. The swoon is, like, if you were to go 3 weeks of just playing bad, and honestly, the more and more I think about it, like, we'll know what the swoon is when we see it, you know? Like, and it's not a thing where, again, like, 3 or 4 losses a week or two, not even a two, like, oh, there's going to be bad weeks of baseball. I don't even think that's going to happen, because I think the Yankees are way better than all the teams they're going to be playing here. But, like, 3 weeks to a month of bad baseball, that's where it's like, all right, we are in swoon territory. How do you prevent that? I don't know, because also I don't really know why it happens to begin with. But I'll tell you, if it's because of lack of depth in previous years, obviously we're better suited to deal with that lack of depth this year than in years past, as we've seen. Also, just on the topic of depth, again, Stanton should be returning within the next, like, week or two. Jason will begin a rehab assignment as well. And, you know, things are trending up right now. We know about our starting rotation. It's been great. Cam will get the ball tonight in game one. We'll preview Cleveland a little bit in just a moment. But, yeah, is it just a myth or a legitimate concern? I think I could forgive one for being legitimately concerned about it. But I would be lying if I said I have any true worry that just because it's June, just because it's summertime, the Yankees are going to start playing like crap. I think about that all the time with, like, it's baseball, you know, things can change very quickly, you know, just like when things are going bad, it's inevitable that they'll go good again. This is like a life thing. When things are going good, they'll ultimately go bad again, which is why you got to kind of, like, keep it baseline and see it through, keep it level headed to a degree. Like, that is like the saying, you know, you're not as good as you're not as good as you are at your best, and you're not as bad as you are at your worst, that whole sort of thing. And it snowballs quickly. It snowballs very quickly, just like it does when you're winning. It's like the I'm not like a huge hardcore religious guy, but like the Matthew principle, like those who have it all will be given more. Those who have nothing will be taken from faster. It's like you lose a couple games in a row. You have a bad week of baseball. Before you know it, if you don't bounce back in that second week, it will get bad and it will get bad fast. Just like we've seen when things are going well, you win a couple games in a row, turns into a week of good baseball, turns into 2 weeks of good, 2 weeks of good baseball. And before you know it, I'm making plans around the parade, which I definitely lean, you know, towards that angle of things because I'm optimistic. But in regards to the June swoon, I definitely can forgive one for being, you know, a little bit hesitant going to this month. Like, how's this going to go? Or just the summer as a whole. there's no reason for it to happen again. And if it doesn't happen again, or if it does happen again, I mean, I will be like shocked and I'll be like dumbfounded because it would make no sense. Like, and I'm actually one of this. Like, I think there's things that I can offer you guys insight-wise, and there's things that you can offer me insight-wise. You know, I started watching in 2011. There may be some baseball seasons that, you know, I'm not aware of, or, you know, didn't watch day in and day out, that you guys could let me know, like, why this could happen. Like, under leadership, under Aaron Boone, like, is it complacency? I get weird about complacency when it comes to baseball. Same with, like, in-game sense of urgency. Like, it's not football. It's not so much. I kind of equate it always to like the All-Star game, why baseball's All-Star game is so great compared to other sports, because you can't like not try in baseball. You know, it's like if you're hitting, you're always going to try to get a hit. It's not a thing where like, you know, you got to watch a hype-up speech to play really good defense in football or, you know, basketball. Like, it's not so much, it can be an effort thing, but I don't know. I guess I'm kind of rambling here, but I guess it remains to be seen is kind of where I'm at here. Let me know what you guys think about this, but I'll tell you, I'm not worried about it. But I could understand certainly if one was. All right, let's move on, though, to a little bit of a preview against Cleveland. Again, for those who are just joining in the live chat, one random giveaway winner for a t-shirt giveaway. We'll pick those either tomorrow's show or by the end of the week, and then we'll have the shirt shipped out by the 15th of the month. And then also in the comments section down below, we'll pick three giveaway winners just at random. Give me your thoughts on Ryan Jeffers. Anything we talked about today or just Yankee thoughts in general, we'll randomly pick with a comment generator, and we'll do a t-shirt giveaway. For those who missed all the news this morning, I freaking overslept, so we're doing one t-shirt giveaway for every hour that I overslept. I was supposed to get up at 5 a.m., and I woke up at 8. But hey, I'm yapping right now. I'm feeling great. I freaking slept fantastic, unfortunately. We got to wrap this up soon because I got baseball today soon. But anyways, let's wrap it up with this six-game homestand against the Guardians and the Red Sox. Just going to go over like the pitching matchups really quick, and then we'll get out of here. Of course, the Guardians, they're 34-27, first place in the AL Central. Was talking to Chris Rose yesterday, and he said, this is how Chris Rose operates, though. Like, for those who watch baseball today, you know this, the old, like, Cleveland scar tissue line that he says. But for those who don't know, Rose is very much, like, a pessimist when it comes to Cleveland baseball. He said to me he'll be shocked if they get a game, which I would be shocked if they didn't get at least a game. We'll see. But anyways, Yankees enter play 36-23. By the way, the Rays did lose last night. The Rays lost last night. I mentioned that I thought they were off yesterday just like we were. They were not. They started a series against the Tigers and they lost. So they're now 36-21. The Rays are. We're 36-23. So we're a game back of Tampa Bay entering today. Anyways, six-game homestand, three against Cleveland, three against Boston. We'll preview Boston come, you know, Friday's show, but just to go through the pitching matchups, then I got to get out of here. But game one tonight, 7 o'clock on, yes, 7:05 first pitch for the Guardians. It'll be lefty Joey Cantillo, 4-2, 3.57 ERA versus Cam Schlittler. Of course, he's 7-2 with a 1.5, leading front runner by far right now to win the Cy Young in the American League. Yankees have been teeing off against lefties lately. I believe they've won like seven of their last eight games against left-handed pitching, if not more than that. They've been great against lefties. So Cantillo versus Schlittler tonight in game one. We'll be live for all these games, by the way. Watch party will start tonight right around like 6:45, probably. Maybe even a little bit earlier. Game two, tomorrow night, Wednesday. That will be 7:05 on Prime. Right-hander Gavin Williams, who's been great for Cleveland. 8-3, 3.07 ERA versus another right-hander who's been great, Gerrit Cole, 2-0, no runs allowed in his first two starts back from Tommy John. That is Wednesday's matchup, right-hander Williams versus the right-hander Gerrit Cole. And then game three, afternoon baseball on Thursday, 1:35 Eastern on YES, right-hander Slade Ciccone. He's been struggling, and he has a 3-5 record with a 5.25 ERA. And the Guardians in the game three will go up against Carlos Rodon for the Yankees, who's been pitching much better as of late. We were saying this yesterday, but like, he's just handling his, you know, return from injury like a normal person, where you're a little bit rusty. Not everybody's Gerrit Cole. Not everybody's a freak. But Rodon was good against Oakland and his previous start as well. He sits currently at a 1-2 record with a 3.32 ERA. It is 10:10 now. I got baseball today at 11 o'clock, so I do got to get going. But, yo, Chad, I appreciate your guys' freaking patience so much today. Yo, I woke up and, man, I was in a stinging mood. I just knew. You know when you oversleep and you're like, before you even open your eyes, it's like, it is way too sunny out right now. What time is it? And then I saw it was like 7:55. I'm like, I was supposed to be back up north an hour ago. And I was supposed to be live in 5 minutes. And I was like, well, now I got to cancel the show because I was going to go back up north. But then I was like, nah, We'll figure it out. And hey, we did. So again, apologies for all this. We've gone over like the giveaway terms and all that, but just comment down below. We'll pick 3 giveaway winners from the comment section. We'll do a random from the live chat as well. Also agree to give my my guy Vinny on Instagram a t-shirt as well. So 5 t-shirts given away, or are going to be given away, one for each hour that I overslept. Consequences, chat. Am I happy about it? No, but I shouldn't have overslept, you know? That's all I got, though. I'm going to get out of here. Again, presenting sponsor for the watch party begins tonight. I'm freaking stoked. And yeah, we'll be live right around 7 o'clock. That'll do it for this episode of The Morning Yankee Show. Of course, we have our tier list video out. That came out yesterday. It's a long one, longer than an episode of The Morning Yankee Show. It went like 40 minutes. So that's all I got for this episode. I will see you guys later tonight for the watch party. As for this show, we'll be live tomorrow at a crisp, sharp 9 a.m. Maybe I'll go live at 8:59 a.m. Nah, it'll be exactly 9 o'clock on the dot. Appreciate you guys' patience. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you tonight for Yankees Guardians Game 1 in the Bronx. And yeah, that's all I got. Until then, let's go Yanks.